Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
And we live.
We streaming. Hey, we live. We live? Are we streaming this time? Oh.
Yeah, we streaming.
Oh, you going? Oh, we back. We back, huh?
Yeah, I think the listeners know and understand where
to find
some
us.
Do that. You know what I'm saying? Now, so we back. Some Dude Pod. Make sure. Oh, let me flip that. Boom. All right. Some Dude Pod.
Why I couldn't be on that side?
Because your head right there, fam.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, my head right there. You know what I'm saying? Some Dude Pod, number 192. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Network is the home. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. Follow us on everything, Some Dude Pod. And yeah.
What's good with it, bang?
We are back, Mike.
What's up with it?
Feeling good, feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
I'm good. I seen you since you stepped on the scale, you said, oh.
Yeah, nigga. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. Okay. First of all, when I went to the doctor, for my 3-month checkup, you know, I get up on the scale and I'm kind of, you know, telling the lady who take my, you know, my blood and shit, you know, before I get on the scale. Like, man, you know, I got on some Tims and stuff. So, you know how, you know, the weight, you know, Tims, you know, all that stuff. She's like African lady. She was like, oh, no worry about it. No worries. So then when I got on the scale, she was like, okay, you about 313. I was like, wait a minute. So I got all these clothes and shit on and stuff, right? She was like, yeah. So if you remove some of that, you about 305.
Step on the scale, boxer style.
Yeah,
I was boxer.
Like, yeah, DG, we live. So I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, we good. And I've been doing intermittent fasting and stuff like that. I eat between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. and then, you know, I fast for the rest.
Okay.
And I'm with boxer style. I'm down to 301.
My man. Congratulations.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if I could get some sleep in this bitch, I'll probably be down a little bit more.
I'm sure you could work that out eventually. You know,
fit some sleep
into the schedule.
When a nigga get old, when Liam get old and want to sleep in his own goddamn bed, yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, Mr. Mike Webb and them.
How was the show?
Hey, man, that shit was hilarious as hell, but a nigga was tired, so I took two naps. G.
Outside bang, boy. Look, outside bang, you got to be in the crib by 9, huh?
Man, no, it's that night the kids had me up at 1. Like, got me up at 1.
Yeah.
So I was tired, but I wasn't going to miss this because I'm a big fan of Ali Sadiq. I wasn't going to miss this one at all. But I took two 15-minute naps. Not because he wasn't funny. Because the nigga was hilarious.
Wait, you took a nap during the show? The comedy show, you napped?
Yeah.
You the only person I've ever heard anybody say that they slept during a comedy show.
Nigga, I did that. All right, we back. Miriam, this shit funny, ain't it?
Yeah, that funny. Is hilarious.
You went to sleep, though, a couple of times. Like,
Miriam was sleep too?
No, me. Nigga,
Oh, that's what Miriam was saying to you.
Yeah, that's what she was saying to me.
Bro, that is funny as hell, fam.
I was tired, but it wasn't because he wasn't funny. Because it was one of the funniest shows that I've been to in quite some time. But when you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, nigga.
I can't picture somebody sleeping during a comedy show, G. That man, is off the chain,
when
fam.
You up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
It ain't nothing you can't sleep through, huh?
You
don't matter what it is. Nigga getting his jokes off. He could have been roasting you. You didn't even know it.
Nah, look. You're a funny ass nigga, G. You wild. It, like I said, it wasn't because the nigga wasn't funny, because it was hilarious. Mike Webb would tell you from Pillar to Post, the opener was funny as hell. He was funny as hell. But when you up at, like, these kids of mine is on bullshit with the time. Now, this week has been hilarious because now niggas want to sleep. So I've been getting up at like 3:30 and 4:30 now, as opposed to 1:30 getting up, making a sippy cup or a bottle, and then niggas don't want to go to sleep. They want to go watch Monster Trucks.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. But yeah, man. Like I said, his opener was funny. He was funny. Saw a couple of people I ain't seen in a while.
Okay.
At the event, you know. It was a lot of more people at the event that, you know, I even knew. You know, Mike Webb was there. Shouts out to Illinois Jones. He was there. Okay. Big homie Griffin was there. And there was a couple other people that was there. Didn't get a chance to, you know, see all of these folks. Because right after that, you know, I had went to go meet them. The crazy thing is, Mike, this was the craziest thing. Me going to sleep, me taking a small nap at the show wasn't the wildest shit about the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So for those who don't know, to give you my real job, is I am the director of content at Urban One, Radio One, TV One, that, you know, the whole company, the company is Urban, the parent company is Urban One, TV One, Radio One, Interactive One, they're all in there. I am the director of content for Radio One and Reach Media, the syndicated arm, you know, where you have Ricky Smiley Morning Show, Morning Hustle, Get Up Mornings, Eric Campbell, all that. All right, so Ali Sadiq works at the Houston market.
Okay.
You know, actually, shout out to my man Jay Bachelor, one of my employees. He actually, you know, linked me with Ali Sadiq and got me the tickets and, you know, the meet and greet shit.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready to go to the show, getting ready to meet dude and everything. I find out he got let go.
Yeah. What was he? He was a personality on the station?
He was the afternoon personality, him and a gentleman named Funky Larry, a legend in Houston on Houston Radio.
Okay.
I found out he got let go.
Damn.
It's like, damn.
Good thing he know how to tell jokes.
Yeah, but I was like, damn, I supposed to meet buddy ass.
Well, this is awkward.
You know,
Urban One family.
So
not necessarily, buddy.
Right. And it was funny because my man's called me. My man's called me and was like, you know, he told me what was going on, and I was like, yeah, I heard. And I'm going to see him tonight. He's like, oh, wow, awkward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get in the line for the meet and greet and everything. And, you know, this was the first time I talked to him on FaceTime before, you know, just trying to work, make sure, you know, they're working together for some content. But this was the first time we met in person. So I go up, met J.R. Davis, Radio One, Reach Media, director of content. Jay hooked us up. He was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you see the photos. Like, if you see the photo on the group, it's like, yeah, we talked to him. He was like, man, you know, they let us go today. I was like, yeah.
The day of the show.
The day of the show.
That is crazy.
The day of the show. But the day of the show, he got let go. But the Chicago Theater was the biggest venue of his tour.
Dope.
And it was sold out. And he even went 30 minutes over. On the clip on social media, he talks about how, you know, while he was doing comedy, like, Chicago was the one that, like, solidified him, because he had did a set at the Vic Theater and everything. But we exchange numbers and that thing. You know what I'm saying? I'll be in Houston. So, you know, Mike, I'll be in Houston February 20th to the 22nd. So no episode that week. But, like, it was, like, when they say dude is one of the best storytellers, he's definitely one of the best storytellers. I love his story and everything too. Domino Effect Part 1 and Part 2 is definitely something to look at. Prison Story is another one to look at. I'm a big fan of dude. And like every joke that I saw hit. So, you know, that I saw. I ain't see anything, but
funny as hell.
Like I said, the nigga was tired. And here's the thing, Mike. Going to, once again, I did not mean to go to sleep at this joint. I was tired 1 o'clock in the morning. I just gotta reiterate that. But what I'm glad about is that he didn't notice it because my seats was close.
Oh my God.
Like I was fourth row. Fourth row, man. Like in the middle aisle. Like
that shit is funny.
Like how the split is right here.
That's middle aisle.
So if he just so happened to glance over.
Roasting session.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Niggas been like, oh shit, that's Bang.
Oh no.
Man, and shouts out to my girl Jazz. She worked at the station too. No, that's his DJ. She didn't make it. You know, something with her playing and everything. I was mad because I haven't seen Jazz in a couple of years. So I definitely want to see her and, you know, support her because she's been doing very big things since, you know, she was on our team and stuff. And, you know, she does mornings on the radio station there. But, yeah, I was, Mike, sleepy.
I understand.
It's not the word. And I drove there. You know I don't live close.
Yeah. I understand.
So so if I don't live that close to Maywood,
that's another 15 to 20 minutes.
Nigga, that's a trek, my G.
Crazy.
Like I wanted Miriam to drive so I can take a nap on the way there. Mm-hmm. See, that's what Brando. Yeah. The irony of you catching Ali on the day that his show ends. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Man, you know they let us go.
Yeah.
What you supposed to say after that, Mike?
Man, yo, Mike. Sorry to hear that, bro.
I heard.
I saw the email.
I got the call. And yeah. I was so mad, man, because when you have people like that, you got to utilize them folks, G.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he was really being utilized like that. You know, I think it was no opportunities to, you know, but, you know, when you have somebody like that there, plus he's a traveling comedian, it's like, nah, you take advantage of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we got a chance to do that. But no, he ain't gonna be hurting for nothing. Like I said, my man is a traveling comedian. Netflix specials over a million viewed on each of them and everything. And you know, so you already know the bread that comes in on that. Mm-hmm. And everything, and too, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got to work Monday through Friday, so you got more dates to fill up on there. Like I said, he's one of the funniest comedians out right now. I wish more people could have showed up, and it was a sold-out show. But shouts to Ali Sadiq. Shouts out to my girl Jazz, and shouts out to everybody who popped out to see a great, great, great event at the Chicago Theater. You know what I'm saying? Let's go ahead and get to it, man. One thing that we did not talk about when we did the last show was Mos Def, aka Yasiin Bey, talking about Drake, saying he basically said you know, his music is like Target, like he, you know, the podcaster asked him the question about, you know, what does he think about Drake's hip hop? And he was just like,
she asked, do you think Drake is hip hop?
Yeah, he was like,
that was the question, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And And he said that it was commercialized. No, he's commercialized and likened him to Target and all of that. Well, he clarified his words. You know, I'm going to, you know, read from Complex, you know, some of what he had said. He had said that, you know, first of all, I don't hate anyone. My opinion is mine. It's legal in all states. As far as I'm aware, it was not an opportunity to try to slander him or clown him. I've reached out to him. I have no responses yet. I'm not keen to talking about people or to them through a screen. I prefer to talk to people directly. But I will say this, the young man is very talented. He's been able to be very successful with the talent, and I have no issue with his success or anything that he has been able to achieve as a result of his talent. He said, I do feel that some of the criticism that he's received in the past has been mean-spirited or unfair. I do not want to participate in that. I never had no issue with you personally. I don't know you well enough to have any sort of issue with you in that regard. Nonetheless, it's not sacrilegious to have a critique or opinion of a public figure, particularly one of that magnitude in the current modern culture. He went on to say, after his apology, like during his apology, excuse my Brooklyn. And I know what he mean by that. I know what he mean by that, Mike. Because we have opinions on this show. First of all, let me say this. I don't think Mos Def was hating. I think he was asked a question. He gave his opinion. But just like we know, sometimes when we give our opinion, in certain ways that we're used to giving our opinion.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I fucks with Mos Def. I'm a big fan. Especially his acting. I think he should do more acting. I think he's a solid actor. Yeah. All of that is great. Everything he said, you know, was great as far as like, you know, him elaborating and clarifying. But he still did everything but answer the question.
What's the what question?
The question was, do you think Drake is hip hop?
He said no.
So he compared Drake to
he said he's commercialized. He basically said he was commercialized hip hop.
That's a deflection right there, bro.
That's not like, a deflection. That's an answer. Like there
is it really, bro?
Yes. See, yes. Here's why. There is, and look, let me just say this, Mike. This is these niggas' fault.
Who fault?
All these niggas.
First of all, the question itself was shade.
No, wait, yes, from the interviewer.
The interviewer is like, the just interview, asking that question randomly, you already trying to kick some shit.
Yeah, the interviewer said there's certain questions you shouldn't ask.
Because they feel like Mos Def is in a certain lane when it comes to hip hop. So exactly. they want to get an opinion to where they feel like, hey, do you think that Drake is hip hop? Do you think Drake compares up to the music that we consider you making as hip hop? That's pretty much what that question was.
But I still feel like
from Mos Def had an opportunity to really like. I feel like he had an opportunity to give Drake flowers.
No,
I feel like it was backhanded.
No. See, this is what we're not gonna do. And this is why
it was backhanded.
See, that's where I'm going. There's opinions and there's hate. There was no hate in that.
I don't think it was hate.
No, just say, hear me out. There's opinions, and there's hate. Hate is warranting somebody just simply not liking somebody. Opinion is just what you think of that person. And people are always confusing hate and opinion. If you cannot like something, right? And this is why I'm gonna blame hip hop. You cannot like something, but sometimes it's, well, most of the time it's never going to be a simple, that's not for me. That's why when you see people trying to debate with me, that's why I simply say, nah, that ain't for me. I'm straight. But people don't like that answer. Because people, when you say, nah, that's just not for me, then it's, well, why is it not for you? Like, why is it not for you? Like, what is it? Is it an issue? So now I'm gonna go from to these hip hop niggas and these extra hip hop niggas. They five elements and peace, love, and having fun, and you know, and break dancing and graffiti and all of that stuff, which is hip hop. Not saying that it's not. What some hip hop people do is become holier than thou with their hip hop. If you're not doing graffiti, if you're not breakdancing, if you're not DJing, if all you're doing is rapping, you can't just be hip hop. But on the flip side, a lot of people don't even know the elements of hip hop. They don't even know that it was where it was born from. They only just know rap. So when you say, is Drake hip hop, the extra hip hop nigga is going to say no, because he don't do all of the other elements. He don't break dance. He don't graffiti. He don't DJ. He don't do anything about, all he doing is rap. That's what he does. Arr. Then there's other people that's like, yo, rapping is part of the culture of hip hop. He does that very well. You don't have to do all of the elements to be this. You are part of hip hop. I am on that side that you are part of the culture. If you do one of the elements, if you all the other ones, fine. But as long as you know where this shit come from, and I'm sure Drake knows where it comes from.
Both Steph can answer that question just the way you said
no,
it.
No, see, no, that's the thing. Here's the problem with that, Mike.
And that's not shade, what you just did.
No. That's the problem is, Mike, and you can't say that. You want to know why you can't say that? Because the way you give your opinion on this show is not like what I just said. That's why I like that Mos Def said, forgive my Brooklyn. Because also when you have conversations like this, sometimes where you from and how you talk comes out. And I guarantee you, even the person that feels that Drake is hip hop is going to say, technically that nigga is, but that nigga be singing on his songs and shit and doing all that shit. So technically he's that. But they mean what I just said in the nicest way.
Sure.
Also, to go forward, anytime that I give my opinion on this show, and it's not the most nicest way to deliver it, forgive my Chicago. I'm going to be Mos Def. Forgive my Chicago. Because depending on the conversation, The Chicago is going to come out of me. Just like it's going to come out of you when you deliver your opinion. The Dallas Cowboys. Your opinion of a Dallas team is going to come out the Chicago way. For somebody in Brooklyn, it's going to come out the Brooklyn way. From somebody in LA, it's going to come out the LA way. And sometimes those ways ain't nice, but you don't mean ill will to the person that you're delivering the opinion about. It's just the way that we grew up, the way that we talk, the way that we walk. Sometimes when we give our opinion, it ain't the nicest way to deliver it. However, we don't mean no malice to you. We could say, look, we could be like, man, that shit suck. You ain't saying I hate the dude. You're just like, yo, that shit suck. Now, could you have said, you know what? I don't like this.
I agree with you. But this is where I feel
that's
like
not how you deliver your opinion.
But Mos Def saying, look, I don't care. Like, I agree with everything you saying, and I understand where Mos Def is coming from. But comparing Drake to music that's being played in Target is shade, bro.
No, it's not. I'm
it's shade.
You.
It's a nice way of shade, dude, but it's still shade.
No, it's not. No, it's not, Mike. I'm telling you, it's not. because it's the way you deliver your opinion.
That's crazy.
That's what we do. Like I just said, fam, that shit suck. I'm not saying that, yo, he's a bad person or anything like that. I just don't like the shit. He could have eaten when we look. What did you say the last episode? You was so mad at fucking Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. You said that this man sucked. He should be fired. All of that. And you didn't say it in the nicest way. What you could have said was, man, you know what? I just don't think Mike McCarthy is the right coach for this team, man. You know, I think they should just go ahead and let him go. No, you was on this motherfucker. He sucked. He's this. He's that. We deliver our opinions sometimes in a way that might come off like that, but we don't mean it in that way. We just get extra animated in the way that we deliver our opinion. Hmm. And that's why he said, forgive my Brooklyn. Because, yo, the Brooklyn in me, when I give this opinion, I'm going to give it in a way that fits when I'm comfortable in talking to somebody. That's how I give that opinion. Mike, when you talking to somebody that you're not comfortable at work and you give your opinion to that person, it's not going to be the same as if you was delivering that opinion to me, to the person that you work with, and somebody say, hey, what do you think about Trey? No, what? He be decent. He, you know, sometimes he be hitting. I like some of his shit. You know what I'm saying? Boom, boom, boom. Hey, Mike. How do you feel about Drake? Man, that shit ass. I don't fuck with that shit. But he has me singing this shit all the time. You don't mean you hate him. You just like, you know what? This is just not for me. But when you're comfortable and talking to somebody and you're having a casual conversation, the opinion, not hate the opinion, is probably going to come out. Now, let's talk about the opinion, though. It's not like nobody has ever said that about Drake music. Especially the ultra hip hop nigga.
You see, it's even worse coming from the ultra hip hop nigga. You know, from the hip hop nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like most def coming from him, that shit just sounds just no so shady. See, so much shade coming from most def.
But see, I'm gonna tell you.
But
why.
I understand this, what you're saying though, as far as like his perspective and the way he's saying.
Right, and
I
that's get it. And then you also have to look at the person, right? And most def, who owns his opinion. When you look at, when you don't, we don't know this man from a can of paint, but when you look at Mos Def and you look at everything that's been around him and how, you know, musically, how he's set up, he's supposed to say that. He's supposed to say that. Because most people that are in that ilk are always having something to say against the other side of hip hop. Mm-hmm. The problem is Mos Def congregate with everybody. He literally congregates with everybody. He's not one of those rappers that just sticks to the one side and hates everything that goes on over there. He's not the ultra hip hop nigga. He's just the nigga who raps like that, but he cool with everybody. Did you see the interview with JID? Are you aware of JID's interview?
No, with the same person?
No.
With the same person who did the most definitely?
So I'm going to give you the cliff notes of JID and what he said in an interview, which I thought was amazing. I was so happy that he said this. JID, who's one of those more lyrical rappers, one of the more lyrical rappers is out there. Mm-hmm. He said that he hates listening to lyrical hip hop. He does not listen to his style of rap.
That's not shade, though, is it?
That's not shade. to him because he just said, because that means he would be shading himself.
Did that come off as shade to the
No, he said the way that I rap, I don't listen to this shit.
That's funny.
I don't listen to this shit. I don't listen to how I rap. I don't listen to that lyrical shit.
Yeah.
I don't listen to that. Y'all like this, but I'm listening to that. And when y'all realize there's more lyrical rappers out here that do that, see, look, super hip hop niggas are liars.
I've never heard of I've never heard anybody say anything like that before. Like, I make this style of music, but I really don't listen to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we've heard, like, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people like Nas and them niggas, like, you know what I'm saying? They say, like, they like to listen to a lot of R&B. You know, they don't really listen to hip-hop.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess in that way of saying it, I've never heard anybody just say it, like, straight out.
You know,
like,
what?
Look, I don't listen to this style of music, even though I make this style of music. I ain't never heard nobody say that.
Mike, you know why? Because the first step is admitting it. The first step is admitting exactly what he just said. Mike, he just let you know, hey man, I rap like this because I know how to do it. But
this ain't in my playlist, though.
This ain't in my playlist, which is quite the opposite, because as Jay-Z said, no, I could have rhymed like Common Sense.
Truthfully, yeah, I want to rhyme like Common Sense. But I did 5 mil and I ain't been rhyming like Common Sense.
Exactly. Lupe Fiasco talks about how he loves a lot of those people. See, the reason why I respect those people is because they listen to the other side, and they will admit that. Remember when J. Cole was platinum with no features and everybody was saying that J. Cole was the greatest rapper of all time because he's different than all of those other rappers, and he raps like, you know, he really out here rapping, and he the best rapper alive with no features. He's really keeping hip hop alive and all that stuff.
Of course.
Then look who he be featuring with.
He out here executive producing albums for Thug. You
know, do y'all, let's be real, y all.
21 Savage. Let's be Grammy real. With 21 Savage.
Right. This is only Grammy, fam.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Do y'all want to hear J. Cole on a track with Yachty?
That wouldn't be my ideal feature, no.
But probably the best feature of 2023 was what, Mike?
On a Yachty track, which is crazy.
Now, here's the funny part about all of this.
But for the record, Yachty do got some records that I do like, though.
I don't like a Yachty record at all.
I like a few little Yachty songs.
That shit is huff to me. Forgive my Chicago.
There we go.
There's nothing against Yachty, but that shit
is little Yachty hip hop.
Yeah.
All right. Most Def could have said that. He could have did that. You just said forgive my Chicago for saying that little Yachty was huff. But you admitted that he was hip-hop.
But I said he was huff. And yes, he's hip-hop.
Now, if Mos Def would have been like...
You didn't, there's the context to it. There's the context to it. See, niggas don't want to hear context to shit unless it's shit that they like, all right? The perfect example is Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders said there's a Hall of Fame and there's rooms in the Hall of Fame. And I got my own room, fam. There's some people that got their own room. All them niggas down there, they in the Hall of Fame, but I'm here. I'm in the penthouse. Lil Yachty is hip-hop because he's a part of the culture. He raps. He just a part of the hip-hop community that I don't listen to. That shit's huff to me. I don't want to hear that shit.
Now that's another way of explaining it. Or like
that, you know, shit was way harsher than saying that this shit was Target. Because you know what happens, Mike?
More harsher, but it's harsher. Nigga. But it's also real. I respect Mike. You. I respect it.
Mike, you get money for getting your shit heard in Target, my nigga.
Of course, and we know that. We don't need Mos Def to tell us that. Well, but if Mos Def, could have been like, Mos Def could have been like, yeah, Drake hip hop, but I don't really fuck with it though. That ain't shade. That's just being flat honest.
No, Mike. See, that's what I'm saying to you.
He could have been like, forgive my Brooklyn for that too.
Mike, yeah. That shit is shade to people. That's what I'm saying. It's nothing Most Def could have said
that wouldn't have got him out of that jam.
Even if Most Def would have been like, no, I don't want to answer that. Why you don't want to answer that? Well, you don't want the hip hop. Oh shit. Here we go. That's why he made to me, compared to his opinion, that was a nice way for a person like Most Def to say that shit. It's like commercialized. It's like listening, it's like getting your music played in Target. Nigga, listen to Target music. Them niggas play popular music. It's popular music. So if you get your music played in Target, nigga, how many times you listen to, you've been at Target and you've been like, man, they playing that shit?
Dang. No, we know.
But what you just said was, man, I don't fuck with it. Nigga, if he would have said, I don't fuck with that shit, it would have been way worse than him saying the shit sound like it's some shit from Target.
But see, let me ask you this, though. So him way saying worse. That, him saying it like, yeah, his music is, it reminds me of music that gets played in Target. Now, when me and you hear that, like, we see that, but me and you both know that Drake is more than just music being played in Target.
I don't know that shit.
Really? So there's not other songs that you like from Drake where you like fuck with him. Like, yeah, Joe, Drake Cole. This is not the just majority, music that he plays.
Chico Fam, the majority of Drake's popular music catalog.
I'm not talking about his popular.
You know, you think niggas, Mike, you think niggas is really having a conversation about B-sides, my nigga? No,
Drake has a catalog way bigger than just popular music, though.
That's what I'm saying. You think niggas, again, you think niggas is having conversations about B-sides, nigga? No.
And no. But that's a problem.
No. Nobody, no. When you hear, fam.
But that's a problem, though.
Fight, Mike, come on, fam. You see, this
no,
is.
No,
this
no,
is,
no, 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 no. Listen. No, listen to
me. I am listening. You you are giving people too much credit. When it comes to Drake, way too much credit. Nigga, ain't nobody talking about, nigga, when the last time you had a B-side conversation about Drake?
It's not about, I ain't got to have a B-side conversation about Drake, but I know that in my playlist, and when I listen to Drake, it ain't the popular record.
Yes.
I know Drake get busy.
Again, you giving niggas too much credit.
And that's a problem.
No, it's not a problem.
In Drake's defense, that is an issue.
Mike, that's the whole thing. And see, this is why I don't debate with niggas about music. Because nobody knows how to have a subjective conversation about music and to actually look at the grand thing instead of saying somebody don't like something. And if they don't like it, it's hate. That's the whole problem. And
but remember, I'm not that person. I'm not saying that.
Sometimes you are that person in general, though, Mike. Sometimes you are that person.
I'm not saying Most Def is hating, though.
I mean, I ain't forget the Most Def part. I'm just saying, sometimes you are that person, Mike. Look.
I'm objective.
Not all the time. Nigga, you know that shit.
Another conversation for another pod, but go ahead. No,
this is why I don't like having conversations with people about music, because the shit is subjective in the first place. Nigga, if the nigga don't like Drake and he don't think, so the fuck what?
And that's okay. I'm cool with that too. Oh,
and again, the worst part about this is because every nigga that I saw get mad or say, oh man, Most Def was hating, I've seen give their opinion in a similar way about other shit. It's just that Most Def was giving an opinion about a nigga that you like and all of a sudden is hating. That's why I don't like having conversations with people about music. When somebody says something about somebody that you're a fan of that you don't like the opinion, is hate. But when they say something, the same damn thing about somebody that you don't like, it's not hate. You agree with the shit. And that shit, huff. That goes to these extra hip hop ass niggas who be rapping about moon, stars, algebra, and trigonometry and finding five big words in the dictionary and rapping that shit on 15 of your 30 songs on your damn mixtape that you just mailed to somebody and told somebody to download off of DatPiff. And then I also hate it when these trap ass niggas be saying the same thing. Oh man, you don't like my shit, you must be hating. No, nigga, I don't like your music. And guess what? I don't have to like it. I hope you do well in your career, but your shit huffed to me. So don't play me none of your shits. Don't pass me your aux cord. Don't tell me, Joe, listen to my new song. You gonna like this one. No. And people even need to do that shit with their friends too. Stop telling your friends that they shit's decent and then you don't play their music. Because what, is that hating too? No. We have to get off of the I don't like this nigga opinion about somebody's music I probably never met, don't like, and is hating. And if most of them think that Drake's version of hip-hop is commercialized and Target, so the fuck what? Drake don't pay me enough money for to defend me about this nigga's opinion about this nigga. Go have an opinion about your friend who been rapping for 30 years and this shit's tough. And you keep saying, hey, man, you one hit away. You one hit away. Go have an opinion about that shit. Most of them don't like Drake, so the fuck what? Half of y'all niggas don't like him too. Stop defending that shit. And look, I'm not that big of a Most Def fan either. I like some songs. I have bought Most Def music. I was more shocked that it was a whole bunch of people coming out there like, oh man, no, I'm not gonna talk shit about Most Def. Nigga, I ain't never seen you have a conversation about Most Def or anything like that. I'll leave this conversation to the people that talk about most, like listen to Most Def music. B-sides at that. Like, don't say, oh man, y'all better leave Most Def alone, man. He out here killing it. He lyrical monster. And the only song you listened to was Miss Fat Booty. Don't do that. And I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that it gets on my nerves when people have opinions and people with just no, just go 0 to 60 and label it as hating. If hating is an opinion, then all y'all niggas is haters. When you a Washington Commander fan and you don't like the Dallas Cowboys, you a hater. Same thing to you, Mike. When you don't like, you a hater. All of y'all niggas is haters. Just admit it. Don't try to jump down on another rapper because he got an opinion about another rapper and shit, and it don't you don't agree with that opinion because it don't fit what you think about that person. You a hater. Just own it. If Most Def is a hater, I'll just end it like this.
Yeah. I don't think you a hater. I just don't agree. No, I'm just saying. I don't agree. I'm not necessarily agreeing with
It's Brooklyn. Again, forgive it's Brooklyn. Forgive my Chicago when I give an opinion and that shit is animated. And it's how I deliver my opinion to my homies. It ain't necessarily no hate to you. I just deliver my opinion in a way that's not going to be conducive to what somebody else thinks about that person that they love. And I give that opinion, all of a sudden it's hate. No, I just don't like that shit. And I might give that in a way that if you know me, you understand. If you don't know me and you don't understand how I speak to people, then yeah, you can automatically assume that. But when you assume, you make an ass out of yourself. However, if Most Def is a hater for what he said about Drake, all of y'all niggas who was down on him are haters too. Because I've seen all of y'all give a opinion about something that wasn't necessarily nice. You a hater too. Just say forget, hey. Forgive my Chicago, man. I'm going to give my opinion in the Chicago way. It's not necessarily no hate. This is just how we talk.
I forgive your Brooklyn. Most definitely.
Forgive is Brooklyn.
I forgive it.
Forgive is Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? But this nigga's getting on my goddamn nerves about this. Oh, hater. He's a hater.
Oh, yeah, he definitely wasn't a hater response, but you know, I'm not
disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just saying that people give their opinions
in a certain way.
Yeah. It does not necessarily mean that they're hating. It's just an opinion that you're not used to hearing. And they, man, do you know how many niggas that heard me talking, giving an opinion about some shit that when I was away? Like, damn, that's how you feel, fam? Like, oh, that's how I talk.
Yeah.
That's how we talk. And then you be sitting there giving an opinion about something, and they don't understand how you talk. Man, fuck it. All right. I'm not going to give my opinion and shit. Mike, go live. Go live in a different space. Except for like Minnesota. Because like if you a nigga from Chicago that moves to Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't know what I would be doing in Minnesota.
You'd be selling drugs or you'd be like throwing up GD. That's what niggas from Chicago go to Minnesota to do.
That's crazy.
They go to Minnesota to become GDs, sell drugs, or get clean. That's what you go to Minnesota for.
Mm-hmm.
If you from Chicago.
Or go to the Mall of America.
Nah, that's the visit. I'm talking about if you live there.
You go to live there. Okay, I got you.
If you go, if you a nigga, if you an ex, except for Kevin Garnett. He just expanded on his Vice Lord tendencies when he went to Minnesota.
Yeah.
But if you a nigga that moved from Chicago to Minnesota, you went to set up your own gang camp, sell drugs, or get clean.
Yeah.
Because you like did drugs and shit. Hey, man, where you at, man? I live in Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
Shit straight, man. I had to get my mind clear. It's only one person that I know that moved to Minnesota and was not involved in none of that.
I don't know anybody that's ever been like, yo, I'm moving to Minnesota, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going up there to Minnesota. You know what I'm saying?
Iowa? Listen to that. Iowa's another one.
What's in Iowa?
Let's not talk about that. Let's move on.
Shout out to Caitlin Clark.
Move on from that. Iowa helped me down. speaking of hating, one of the biggest, hey, we kick off 2024 with one of the biggest beefs in rap in recent memory. Yes. The women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Beefing.
Crazy.
Hiss.
Yeah.
Bigfoot. Mike, you are the resident female rapper listener.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on this beef between two of the biggest women in hip hop or rap?
I hate to see it because I hate to see it because I have said it numerous times,
like on you,
countless times, that man, if Nicki, I'm gonna just speak on these three women specifically. Nicki, Megan, and Cardi were like all on the same page, bro. How much money they can make, what an impact they would make, support women. Yeah, bro. I'm not against a little cat fight. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with it. You know, it's all good. It's all
fine.
Look at Mike.
Look at you. Look at you. The feminist you are. Look, women, man, support women.
I would love, bro, to see the unity here, bro. Like, these women are too influential right now to the female hip hop community, G. That you know what I'm saying? That we seeing this. But it's more so. But at the end of the day, bro, I would say this, though. This is Nicki's fault, bro. Nicki holding that crown she got as tight as she can, G. And she do not want to let it loose to the likes of a Megan or a Cardi or a Lotto, because those are the biggest female rappers under Nicki. You know, if you want to look at it that way, in a sense, because obviously Nicki been holding down the female rap community for over a decade now. But you know, she's at the back end of her career, G, and you have these younger artists, a Cardi, a Megan, a Lotto, you know what I'm saying, that are emerging, you know, and they're, you know, they could be threats.
Mike?
They could be threats.
Why is she at the back half of her career?
The back end? Nikki's 40.
Why is she in the back end? So?
And that's not old, you know, necessarily, but you know what I'm saying? At the end of the
day. I'm 40. I'm 41.
What's I'm not saying that. I'm talking about in rap years. In rap
you
years.
A hater. You're a hater. You are a hater.
Look, Joe, I know 40 is the new 20 when it comes to rap. We got Nas out here dropping albums of the year. He's 50.
You are a hater.
So I'm not a hater, bro. I've said it on this pod that Nas had album of the year last year. He's 50. So I'm not a hater.
You're hating on Nicki Minaj.
I'm not hating. I love Nicki, bro. I gave Nicki her flowers on this show.
Her career is just getting started, fam. She's never been better. She's just getting started, fam.
Did you listen to the album? You listen to her album?
No.
So how do you know she's getting better or not?
I don't listen to that shit.
What is that's crazy.
I don't listen to that shit. That's why I listen to that shit. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Nicki has not said a line that I identified with that I could go, oh man, you know, I feel that shit.
So Nicki not worth a spin, is what you're saying.
I've listened to the music, but she's not gonna grab me.
I'm talking about that. It don't matter. I was like, she's not worth an album listen, is what I'm saying.
Mike, I listen to music that grabs me, what I identify with at the time. Not just listen to shit just for bars and hooks for my nigga, like.
All right, but but anyway.
See, I'm a hater now. See, I'm a hater now.
That's crazy. Forgive Bang, y'all. Forgive
I'm a hater now.
Bang is wild.
I listen to shit that I identify with. I don't listen to shit just for bars and hooks. Now I'm a hater. Now I'm a hater against Nicki Minaj. Now watch. Motherfucker gonna clip this shit and be like, oh, this nigga's a hater.
She gonna be dissing us, fam. Nicki, I love you, okay? I'll listen to your music.
But see, here's the thing. I wish Nicki well on her future endeavors. I got questions. And I'll never get answered.
Yeah, of course. I got questions that I'll never get answered as well. But I'm going to just get straight to it, though. Like, I feel like Nicki is holding on to that crown as tight as she can. And she don't want to give it up. And she don't want to give it up to the likes of these younger female hip-hop artists who are doing the things that she's accomplished. You know what I'm saying? At one point in time, Nicki was the only female artist out here dropping shit, breaking records, you know what I'm saying, holding it down up against these men. And now the competition is here. The competition is here. You know what I'm saying? And then people, you know, they're going to like, yeah, Nicki don't put on for the younger female artists or the newer female artists. And then you look at the artists that she has collabed with, like, the likes of like maybe a Sexy Red, a Bia, you know, JT from the City Girls, and maybe like, you know, some other up and coming, you know, hip hop artists, but they not like on the side of Megan and but she's collabed with Megan, but I feel like when they did that collab, I feel like Nicki did that shit because she didn't think Megan was gonna pop off like that. You know what I'm saying? It was like, yeah, I do you a little solid. I reach down for you. You ain't gonna go nowhere though. You know what I'm saying? And boom. She doing records with Cardi. They going number one. And obviously, Cardi is an op to Nicki for whatever reason. Still don't have the answers to that. But apparently, they ops. You know what I'm saying? And Megan collabing with her and Megan taking off and shit like that. And yeah, Nicki been subbing at Megan for years, right? since her and Cardi collabed on that WAP record. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, bro. And it's just boiled over at this point. Megan dropped her single, Hiss, and apparently, you know what I'm saying, she got a bar in there that, you know, touched Nicki's, you know, a soft spot.
Megan's Law,
apparently, that could possibly have been aimed at Nicki Minaj. And
Nicki mentioned it in Bigfoot, so yeah.
So yeah, and Nicki has been on a straight social media tear.
So let's get to the songs.
Let's get to the songs. We can get to it. Now, first of all, let me see. The Megan record is good. The Megan record is good.
Okay, Hiss. You fucks with Hiss.
I like it. I lied. Megan was getting down on there. The video was good. You know what I'm saying? It's a solid record. I don't think it's necessarily a diss, but it's just like one of those records where she, you know what I'm saying, she talking her shit. And to whoever it applies to. So I just look at it in that sense. And I think the record was good. And Nicki felt a certain way, and she went on this, and obviously she pointed out the fact that she felt like Megan was aiming at her. So Nicki has made everything she said on social media up until the song dropping was aimed directly at Megan Thee Stallion. She went on IG Live, she had been on Spaces and been talking to people, and you know what I'm saying, and just making fun of Megan at this point, and teasing the record that she's gonna drop, which she did drop, and I'm very disappointed in the record itself, and I'm disappointed in the way Nikki is acting right now when it comes to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is very disappointing, and I feel like Nicki Minaj is going out real sad right now. She's going out bad, bad. Nikki, if you're listening, if you can listen, if you, this clip ever, you know, comes across you, you are going out sad, and you are hearing that from one of your biggest fans, me. You are going out sad, all right? This is totally unnecessary. It don't have to be like this.
Wait. Let's go to Bigfoot.
Yeah, let's go to the record. What do you want?
What are your thoughts on Bigfoot?
The record's terrible. It's terrible. Put this song out and put it in the trash. It's horrible. It's not good at all. It's not a good song. It's not a good diss song. Nothing, bro. Nothing about this record is good. It's not good at all. I feel like everything she said in the record, she had already put out on social media. She said it in the IG Live, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't no surprises in the record. She's pretty much telling us everything we already know about Megan, bro. We know Megan got shot. We know Megan, you know, Nikki's making these allegations that, you know, she's that party was her ghostwriter as well, you know what I'm saying, with as far as them dating and, I mean, a lot of shit that people already know. Nothing new here. And the way the song is put together, the lyrics, it's not good. Very elementary. Very elementary. It's very disappointing in Nicki Minaj, because I've heard Nicki Minaj rap at an elite level. And nothing about that song was elite.
You a hater.
I'm a hater.
You a hater.
But I feel like Nicki Minaj is also in a state of her career where the criticism that she could get, like, is beneath her. Like, she's not subject to any type of criticism. She can't be, because she's at this top level.
Because if you criticize somebody, if you give a critique, you're a hater.
And that mind space is terrible. It's a terrible mind space to be in, Nikki. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, Nikki has this unique fan base, which is very huge, that is like a barrier around her that's going to just block out everything, and that's just going to run up her numbers, you know what I'm saying, run up the streams, and it all looks like, you know, it's good and legit, you know, but at the end of the day, it's just your following is, you know what I'm saying, doing this, and her and Megan right now is just having a pissing contest. You go on both of their IG stories, go on the social medias, all you see is, oh yeah, this song is the broke the record for this amount of streams in 24 hours and on Spotify and the biggest release of 2024 so far. We ain't even out of January yet. Like, none of this is really accomplishments. Like, you know what I'm saying? You bigging yourself up to make yourself good, look good around your barbs or the hotties. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not a hater. And also, I applaud Megan, because Megan is doing more of a, you know what I'm saying, I'm chilling. I'm going to let Nikki, you know what I'm saying, do her thing. She ain't really responding, you know what I'm saying, back to anything that Nikki has done in the past 72 hours. So.
You're a hater.
I'm not a hater, bro. I love Nicki Minaj, bro. I love Nicki Minaj. You can pull up the clips. Go back to the archives. I gave
Mike, Nicki Minaj. I'm laughing at the fact that you want unity amongst men.
I've been said it though, bro. I want a Nicki Cardi collab, G. If they went on tour, I'm there. A Megan Nicki Cardi tour, I'm there, bro. I'm in there. I'm in there heavy.
All up in there with the Yaz delegation, huh?
Yeah, bro. Lotto. Get Lotto on there as well, bro.
Hey, look, man. Look.
Man, please.
Hey, Offset is a philosopher.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. Stay out of women's business. That's cool. Out of women's business. I stay out of it. You know what I'm saying?
But all men's. Let me say this now. Offset, you are 100% right, especially when it comes to this.
But they rappers, though.
I don't give a shit. All men stay out of women's business. That, look, I'm sorry. I might be in the minority, but I only listen to music that I feel and identify. And there's nothing that Megan and Nikki are going to rap about that I identify, especially when it comes to a beef. Like when two women are arguing, a nigga ain't sitting there talking about some ooh. They wait for the fight to happen to see what pops out. I've never seen a man look at two women arguing and be like, oh man, fam, you heard what she said? I can't believe she said that. Clutch pearls. that's what this Nikki and Megan beef is to me. Yeah. Clutch pearls. They have not said, like, Megan, Nikki talking about some Megan, you know, let all of these rappers hit. So?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is pretty much everything we already know. And then she's saying,
wait a minute. Hear me.
Go ahead.
You're not hearing me.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj said on Instagram Live, on Twitter, and in the rap, that Megan Thee Stallion let multiple men hit. She'll let you hit for a free beat. I'm sitting here like, so? Okay. Why? Like, I'm supposed to listen to that and be like, ooh? No, that's catty, fam. Like, that will not get me hyped. And like, okay, imagine us listening to two rappers beefing. Let's go Jay-Z and Nas.
Sure.
All right? Jay-Z gives us Takeover. And Nas say, oh, man, you fucked Luke Cantrell. Ooh! What? No! You fucked all these female rappers for a beat. So, like, this right here, you want to know why I don't like this battle? I don't like either song, first of all. You know why I don't like this shit, Mike? Because it's not about rap. It's about sex, lies, and entertainment. So what if Megan Thee Stallion had sex with 10 of the 20 niggas she met in rap? So the fuck what? Matter of fact, probably wish I was 21. Can I? So if you listen to that, and you go and you don't go, damn, I wish I was one of them niggas. That's not a battle to me. That's anger. That's frustration. That's you improvise OEs at lunch and two girls start arguing and then they start fighting. That's not a battle. It's not a diss. It's just being catty. And I have to tell my nigga, shout out to my nigga Mike Jones. I have to tell him in a text. There's diss songs and there's battle songs. I would rather listen to a battle song than a diss song. I don't count Takeover and Ether as diss songs. I think that's a battle. I think it was two people battling for supremacy. This song is Tupac hit him up. He kicks the song off with, that's why I fucked your bitch, you fat motherfucker. That's hate. See, there's this is our hate. I don't like you. If I see you, we're going to fight or somebody's going to get fucked up. Either way, in those songs, depending on who the person is, it's going to lead to somebody hurt or they're going to pass away. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. But there are also battles. There's a Rockefeller going up to Hot 97. Rockefeller State Property going up to Hot 97 and knowing each other's rhymes and saying all these, this is the Nas, it's Jay-Z and Nas with Ether and Takeover. Those are battle songs. Those are the songs that I enjoy. But when you start getting personal for no reason, that's why Jay-Z eventually had to apologize for what he said is super ugly. Like, all right, I did too much right there. Like, that's when I'd be like, all right, y'all just need to fight. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when it's two women doing this, especially in the way that they're doing it, this ain't rap, nigga. Like, this is, I hate you. And quite honestly, and matter of fact, Brando just said it. He just took the words out of my mouth. Megan, that was a battle song. That was a bitch leave me alone.
Yeah.
Nikki, you fuck 10 niggas. You fucking for beats.
That's what I said. That's why I said I'm so disappointed in the approach in the song itself. Nicki has done
talking about her mama. And she's
this
dead,
whole like... thing. This whole thing. This whole what everything Nicki has done up to this point, leading up to this, has been piss poor.
And I heard something from a friend that something that Nicki said to her that I won't repeat on this platform that. Soured me on her anyway. Like, soured me on her anyway. Like, if what was told to me was true, fuck her anyway. But yeah, I think I'll say this, Mike, and we'll move on to the last topic. I'll say this, and this is my issue with Nicki Minaj. It's kind of the same thing with Drake. Just in a different way. Nicki Minaj can rap her ass off. If you were to ask me, all jokes aside, if you were to ask me who's the better rapper, Nicki or Megan, I'm saying Nicki all day long. If you were to tell me in a battle type situation, who do you trust more? I would say Nicki. But Nicki's not doing that. She's not just rapping. She's fucking around. And that's why I think a lot of people listen to Bigfoot was like, this shit's huff. Because they expected Nicki to just rap. Sometimes the people just want you to rap. Mm-hmm. Fuck all of the gimmicks. Fuck all of the bullshit. Fuck all of the acting. Fuck all of the singing. Mm-hmm. We just want you to rap. That's the gripe that a lot of hip-hop and overly hip-hop niggas have about Drake, that he won't just rap all the time. And in this battle situation with Megan, she won't just rap. If Nicki would have just came out and just rapped, none of that Roman shit, she would have burned Megan's house down.
But she want to get didn't. She want to get on IG Live. She want to get on Twitter. She want to, you know, try to, you know, make Megan look like a fool and all of this right. shit like that, using her social media influence. You right. know what I'm saying? With her barbs,
she
with
needs
her
help.
Fan base. She need all of that help instead of just getting in the booth and rap. That's why I said, that's to my point, that I feel like Nicki has disappointed me in all aspects when it comes to this riff.
Now, look,
I'm all about the unity. Please, can we just all get along, females? I love all y'all. I'm a fan of all y'all. I fucks with all y'all. I love what the females are doing right now in hip-hop, you know?
Look at Mike. Can we all just get along, girl?
Just can we all just get along without the beef?
Just get I'm playing, Mike. I'm playing bullshit. All right, man. Good. Before we got here, we got to have a ticker, Mike. We got to have a ticker, G.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid is 6 games away from not being MVP.
He says five now, right?
It's five now, excuse me. Okay. Tyrese Halliburton is 5 games away. Gonna ask you this. We talked about this a lot last week, so that's why we could keep this brief. Do you feel that the NBA made a mistake with placing these rules about, you know, how many games you can play in order for you to be eligible for these awards?
Nah, I'm okay with it. Like, I think I said last week that, you know what I'm saying? Yes, I think if you play 65 games or less than 64, that's still like 80% of the season. But I get it, and the reason why they did it was to knock down the load managing, you know what I'm saying? To give the fans what they want, to see these superstars out there playing. That's what they want, you know? So I understand why this rule was put into place. I'm cool with it. I don't have an issue with it. And at the end of the day, bro, if you're the MVP, you know what I'm saying? The best availability is to be available. We want you to be available, buddy. You know what I'm saying? You should be available to your team, you know? But if you're legit hurt, that's cool. If you're legit hurt, all right. But if you just taking nights off because you don't want the Embiid smoke, you know, you don't want the Joker smoke, that's crazy. That's crazy to me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Y'all played in Denver, and you've not played in Denver in how many seasons? Every time you got to go up against Jokic, you ain't available. That shit is crazy to me. So, hey, man. It is what it is, bro. I'm cool with it, bro. If you're legit hurt though, then hey, that sucks. You know what I'm saying? Tyrese Haliburton, he went out there and actually got a legit injury. You know what I'm saying? He was hurt, and Embiid was injured too. But Embiid came back and he was balling again. How you just go from 70, dropping 70 on the Spurs, and now all of a sudden when you got to face Jokic, your knee sore? I don't get it. I don't get it. So, hey, bro. Shout out to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your MVP for the 2023-24 season. It is
hey,
what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, baby. Hey, Brando. Hey, man. Freaky Vince, bro. I'm not shocked. You know what I'm saying? I'm not shocked.
Freak man, you're not shocked?
I'm not shocked at all, bro. At this point, I'm not shocked. This was for the greater good, man. Hey, it happens because Vince needs to just be all the way out, bro. That's my thoughts on it. This puts Vince McMahon all the way on the outside. He can't get back in, bro. You are outside looking in at this point when it comes to anything WWE related, and I think that's what a lot of fans wanted in the first place, for Vince McMahon to not be involved in any way possible. So that's my thoughts. I think this happened for the greater good of WWE. Shout out to Vince McMahon. Look, cut the check, and we're gonna go all about your business, bro. All
right, so for the MVP, for the MVP part,
shout out to First Black Champ. I know they got more thoughts on that as well.
Yes, we do. Coming tomorrow. Two things. One, for the MVP thing, I think that the NBA needs to rethink this rule. Because now you're gonna have your best people not even being involved in the all NBA team. Like, just rethink it a little bit. I think there should be a slot. I think something should be slotted for load management, and then there's legitimate injury. Like, what if Joel Embiid played 64 games and then he got injured on the 64th game and he was not able to play for the rest of the year, but he gave you the stats that he's giving you? You're gonna have to consider him for at least the all NBA teams and stuff like that. Not necessarily MVP. So I think you need to rethink that, tweak that a little bit. As far as the Vince McMahon thing, we're going to talk about that on First Black Champ tomorrow. But one of the things that I will say that I said on the pod that I'll say here is that this is more than Vince. You really got to take a look at the WWE as a whole and the people that are in Vince's inner circle. And you can't tell me what I read, because I read the whole entire doc. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that they didn't know. You cannot tell me. Ain't none of them niggas that's in Vince inner circle can tell me that they didn't know. And to keep it a buck, you can't tell me that the family didn't either. You probably didn't know all of what he was doing, but you can't tell me that you thought that this was like him just regular cheating the innocent after what I read. So you almost got a completely clean house. Anything that Vince touch probably have to go. That's hard to do though. But you can't tell me that John Laurinaitis and the young lady and the therapist are the only people that knew about this. So that means that Ari Emanuel and TKO need to have a real honest conversation about anybody that's in Vince's inner circle and family, and do they deserve to stay in the company that they bought? Or do you got to get them the fuck up out of here? Mike, close us out.
Some Dude Pod, man. Rate, like, subscribe. As you can see right there, man. Some Dude Pod on Twitter. Some Dude Pod on IG. Make sure if you're not subscribing to our YouTube page, the What Digital. The podcast is available anywhere podcasts are available at. The Barber's Chair Network is where you can find it. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. Some Dude Pod. Episode 192.
Save the date. 5:30. Save the date. We'll let y'all know.
That's all we're going to say for that right now. But episode 200, we on the way. All right. I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. Shout out to everybody that's back with us on the live stream. You know what I'm saying? And we'll be back next week. And we'll hop.
Yo, yo, yo. It's your girl, Nate Kale. And this is Some podcast, we out. Peace.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.